gave us power through Jesus Christ. And we look at Luke 10 and 19. And here is what Jesus said. This is what he said in Luke 10, 19. Behold, I have given to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is what he said in Luke 10 and 19.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I'm excited we're together, and I want to share with you. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be teaching about the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and how important he is in the lives of believers. We're going to make sure we understand that the Holy Spirit is the third entity of the Godhead. He's God the Holy Ghost, as God the Father and God the Son. He is God the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, and that he is the present working agent in this world and the lives of believers today. You look in biblical history, God in the beginning had his time, and of course the Holy Ghost and Jesus were there, and then Jesus had his time, and he walked on earth among men, and of course the Holy Spirit had his time with Jesus, and now Jesus, who has gone back to the Father, who prayed the Father that the Holy Ghost would come, who is known as the other Comforter, is the last and present day help of the believer. After the Holy Ghost, there is no hope. That's why blaspheming the Holy Ghost is something you don't want to do, because there is no help after the Holy Ghost. And you know, the Holy Ghost is the only person that's truly capable of loving you and knowing you and understanding you, because there's never been anybody before like you. And that's why folk have trouble getting along with you sometime, but not the Holy Ghost. And when you learn who the Holy Ghost truly is, you'll realize he's not a bird. He came down like a dove on Jesus, embodied. He's not fire, he purifies like fire. He's not wind, he moves like wind. He's not a thing, he's not a it, he's not a force, he's a person. And when you get to know the person of the Holy Ghost, then you're going to learn how important his role is in your life as a believer. Now, one of the things that I want to do is to help us understand, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, relied on the third person, which is the Holy Ghost, to enact and empower and enforce his ministry and confirm it, The question is, what about us in our lives? Listen to this now. Jesus, the Son of God, he needed the person, presence, and power of the Holy Ghost, because when he decided to come to planet Earth, take on the form of human flesh, he left the power of his deity in heaven. In other words, though he was God's son and was as much God as he was man, he left the God power with God and took on the human flesh so that he could identify with us. He was tempted in all points like as we, but with what? But without sin. He depended on the Holy Ghost to keep him strong. He depended on the Holy Ghost to empower him. He depended on the Holy Ghost. John 3:34 tells us that he received the Holy Ghost without measure. Now, what does that mean? It literally means that there was no limit to his power in the Holy Ghost. What's the purpose of that? To help us understand that the power he used while he was on earth is available to us. Otherwise, if he had used deity's power, the power as the Son of God, then it would be an imbalance of power, because we don't have the power as the Son of God. So he had to use a power that would be available to us that he could use and demonstrate in this earth realm, and then say to us, these works shall ye do, and greater works shall ye do. Why? Because I go back to my Father. And the Holy Ghost would then come down and not only fill us as he did in the Old Testament times, but he would live in us, abide in us. And therefore, we would have his ability every day. You see, in the Old Testament time, the Holy Spirit would light upon or come upon men, and he would fill them for their assignment. When their assignment was through, the Holy Ghost departed from them. The anointing departed from them. They would not get a fresh refilling until there was another assignment. When God gave them another assignment, the Holy Ghost would come again and fill them. So we're going to deal with that term when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what he means by that. He's filled afresh when he talks about that. Isaiah talks about that, and we'll deal with that in a little while. But it's in order for you to understand that Jesus wanted more than you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He wanted you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And you're going to find out there's a whole different level to being filled and being baptized. But I want you to see that all four gospel writers confirmed Jesus' baptism in Jordan by John. Matthew 3:13-17. I want my reader to read for us. We're going to run through these pretty much as quick as we can, because there's a lot to cover in our study tonight. So I hope you have your notes, or you're taking notes, because I think this is going to bless your life. All right, Rita.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Amen. Now, Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Rita.
Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Amen. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22.
Luke chapter 3, verse 31 through 22.
21 and 22.
21 through 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.
Amen. And then John chapter 1, verse 32.
John 1 and 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him.
Now, all of these confirm that the Holy Ghost came down and dwelt with Jesus Christ. Now, what is important again is to see this is the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. So he's establishing the fact that he is not starting ministry without the power of the Holy Ghost. It is so imperative that we understand this principle. You need the Holy Ghost in your life. You need the Holy Ghost in your walk. You need the Holy Ghost in your ministry. You need the Holy Ghost, period. And especially if you're doing ministry work, you need the power of the Holy Ghost with you. And Jesus shows clearly that his earthly ministry began with him being baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to go back a little bit and show you what Isaiah saw concerning Jesus Christ. Go to, if you will, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Rita.
Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2.
1 and 2.
Verse 1 and 2.
Okay, I'm going to have to look up one.
All right. The focus is going to be on two, but it gives you the fact that Jesus comes through the lineage of Jesse and David and so forth and so on. And let me know when you're ready.
Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Mm-hmm. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
Amen. Now, I want you to notice this now. We're dealing with wisdom. We recognize Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, do what? Get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get what?
Understanding.
When the Holy Ghost came on Jesus, Isaiah said, he will have the spirit of what? Wisdom and understanding. That's the first thing the Holy Ghost gives to you in ministry. The wisdom to be able to operate according to the Spirit of God. You see, you can't operate on the Spirit's behalf if you don't have the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who knows all things. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. He's our leader. He's our guide. He is the one who brings back all things to our memory. Am I talking to anybody in here? And so that's one of the reasons why you need the Holy Spirit to have the wisdom of God to be able to operate in the things of God. If our ministries are going to be what they ought to be, we must remember that our ministries are supernatural in origin, and they must be supernatural in operation. And so you need the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the first thing Isaiah says is he will have, when the Spirit comes upon him, he will have the spirit of wisdom and understanding. See, it's not just knowledge, it's what's called knowledge and application. It's or applied knowledge. Wisdom is applied knowledge. In other words, you don't just know and don't do. James said, when you know and don't do better, it's sin. So it is the ability to apply the knowledge that you have by the power of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. The first thing that came upon Jesus was the spirit of wisdom. The second thing was the spirit of counsel and might. The third thing was the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's why he said, I do always those things which please my Father. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Night cometh when no man can work. I mean, he feared the Lord. He knew what his role and responsibility was. He teaches us how to do the same. So all of this is, again, projected on the Messiah, the Christ, the one who will come and be what God has called him to be to each of us in this earth realm. Then Isaiah 42:1. Read that, Rita.
Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles.
All right. Now, he's prophesying about bringing judgment to the Gentiles. But again, that comes after what happens? After he has placed his spirit upon him, after he has filled him with his spirit, then he will bring judgment upon the Gentiles. In other words, everything is going to be supernatural in operation. All right, let's go to Isaiah 61:1-2.
Isaiah 61:1-2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn.
Now, if you would go on to verse 3, there are 3 other things he does as well. So that would be 10 things in Isaiah 61:1-3. But as it relates to Jesus, you see, one of the things that Isaiah is dealing with is what's called a double prophecy. And it has to do with the work that he has to do and that the Messiah will have to do. And the root or the core ministry of the Messiah is found in this 61st chapter of Isaiah. Now, there are some things that Isaiah has to do or sees that must be done that Jesus does not have to do. And the reason being is because he's mirroring. He's doing one part here, and Jesus is reflecting that, because part of what Isaiah is talking about is not only what has to be done in his time, But in the time to come, when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will come and take the role that God has designed for him to take. So we find that now in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. Rita?
Luke chapter 4, verse 17 through 21.
Yes.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written.
Now wait. I need you to hear this story, and I want to kind of take a moment and go through it so I don't have to go all the way back through the story. He goes in the synagogue, and the synagogue was like a community place where it was used for religious purposes and civic use and civil use. And so when a dignitary, when an official of the church, when a religious leader would come, the minister would extend to him the opportunity to read and expound on the text. And so Jesus had gone into this synagogue, and they gave him, being who he was, the opportunity to expound on the text. So when they gave him the book of Isaiah, the Bible says he found the place where it was written. Now keep this in mind, because what Jesus is showing you is he went to Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, and pick up at verse 18.
Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to them that are blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down.
Yes.
And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Amen. Now, does it start to make sense to you now? Jesus takes the book, he goes there, and he gives them a revelation of who they had been reading about, who they had been looking for, was now in their presence. The Messiah has arrived. He blew them away when he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. What was he saying? That he was the one that they were looking for. And I want you to see, there are six things out of what Isaiah said that he would do. And it's important to recognize that Jesus knew his role, knew his purpose, he knew his power, and he was ready to step into that role and commence the reality of what had been prophesied concerning him. So let's go back again and recognize what he's talking about in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. First of all, the Spirit of the Lord is important to understand that it was a phrase denoting that I am authorized to speak in the name of the Lord. In other words, he makes it clear that he has an appointed time to say what God wants him to say, or it means that he has the ability to divinely speak. So when he talks about I speak by divine appointment, which is what Jesus is telling them today. I have the ability to speak by divine appointment. The time of my coming is here. I have been divinely appointed for this hour. And so he's speaking at his divinely appointed time. But also the flip side of that is he divinely speaks. So throughout his ministry, he did two things. He spoke at a divinely appointed time. In other words, when things had to be done according to Scripture, you'll see this has been done according to Scripture. This has been done so that Scripture might be fulfilled. All of that was because he had a divine appointment to speak those things. But then when he divinely spoke, he spoke all other spiritual and supernatural matters as was given the unction by the Holy Ghost. And so that's important to understand. That's how the Spirit of God worked, even with the writing of the Bible. He gave holy men of God the unction. He gave them the ability to speak those things that God wanted them to know and to record those things. That's how he operates. So when he talks about the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, he's making sure that they understand that God was giving him the authority to declare to him what you're looking for, you're now looking at. And then he says, not only is the Spirit of the Lord upon me, but he has anointed me. Now, remember now, he is the anointed one. He's the anointed one of God. Now, in olden day, in Hebrew history, there were three men, or three types of men, that were anointed in a special way. They were the king, the prophet, and the high priest. The king, the prophet, and the high priest. They were anointed with a special mixture of oil that was forbidden to be used by anybody else.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Lift up your voice and say now.